767 today.
Hey, America, Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. Got to ask you a question. Do you know where your taxpayer dollars are going? If you were thinking to the banks, you're right. Give yourself a pat on the back. Do you know the 10 banks need to raise? Yeah. Need to raise almost $75 billion in capital, no joke, including my bank. Oh, boy. And they, no wonder why. And I've said this already. They charge me so many maintenance fees. But B of A accounted for almost half of the total capital shortfall, specifically $33.9 billion. Yeah. They're not the only bank, of course. Now, they had these stress tests. And basically what they were was it involved about 150 regulatory officials poring over the books of 19 of the largest financial firms. And then they would draw a line to decide between healthy and weak. They went down the list, healthy, weak, healthy, weak, healthy, weak, and then quantified how much the banks, the financial institutions, et cetera, struggled under the pressure of the souring loans, what they ultimately had to raise. Now, that's what the stress test was, okay? So you had two piles, and you had a clipboard, we'll just say. And that's how they went through. That was the criteria. Then after B of A, because we all embrace Citigroup, don't we? They need $5.5 billion. Wells Fargo, $13.7 billion. GMAC, $11.5 billion. Morgan Stanley, $1.8 billion. Boy, that seems like nothing compared to the rest of the guys, right? So it's ugly stuff out there. And it really does disgust you, doesn't it? Doesn't it want to just make you take your money and put it under the mattress? Of course, that's not advisable, because you won't get your 0.5% or 1% interest ultimately on whatever it is you have in a particular bank. But where it used to feel like, you go to the bank, ooh, it's insured. Go to the bank, I feel secure about this. Here's my hardcore money in my hand, and here's what I'm doing with it. Here's my savings, here's my CD, blah, 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 whatever. And tough times. Because now you got to make some serious decisions on, do you keep your cash there? Of course, I'm sure nobody involved with these banks would want to hear me say that. They don't want to run on the banks, and they're going to reassure us 100 times that everything's fine, that they can fill the gaps, the capital that's missing from private sources. And then the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, says the government is prepared if they have to. They can get help if need be as well. And that's that reassurance to everyone, but it just doesn't make you, I don't think it makes me feel comfortable at all when I think of how I feel like I'm getting gouged. And it wasn't my loan that made everything collapse. Was it your loan that made everything collapse? And probably the answer is no. So was this process worth it? Was it a waste of time? Has it caused more confusion? That's what some people are saying. In fact, the American Bankers Association criticized the severity, they say, of the stress tests and said there wasn't any evidence that banks need to charge the, or change rather, the makeup of their capital, but said that the test results should end harmful speculation. I think it just ignites all of us to be that much more furious. And it, how clear is it that a bank, how will the banks have to increase the equity capital? Because that's what they're going to have to do, I guess. And I'm sure this is what you'd have to do, right? You'd have to have a mixture of asset sales, share sales, conversion of preferred shares into common stock, obviously. My, oh, my. So, $75 billion. Mm-hmm. You know, Obama's fiscal 2010 budget, which, of course, was unveiled today, includes $250 billion in what they call placeholder money for additional financial rescue efforts. But they hope they don't have to use that. That's nice. Okay, we're also struggling so much. We're going to take this $250 with a B billion, and put it aside for all the people who screwed up. the government is going to have to step in here. They're going to have to. I mean, I want to say no, but that's what's going to happen. They're focused on banks filling the shortfalls in that equity capital. And you know how much that could total? I saw some figure today, $130 billion. Oh. So because what happens is they've got to pay back, they're going to have to pay back the money, the government money and funds. They're going to have to do that. The stronger institutions are going to have to pay back that the money and the funds to the weaker ones who need to fill the shortfalls. It's just a mess. Let's just say that. Let's just cut through the rhetoric and say it's a cloud. It's another dark, cloudy day. And I can, you know, pick a name, any bank, and I can tell you what it is. But we'll just say I gave you some of the top ones, obviously, of the 19, the 10, they need the dough, B of A, the worst of all of them. It's, again, not very reassuring, right? In the meantime, Republicans not happy, speaking of budgets, not happy with Obama's $17 billion proposed cut in federal spending. Yeah. And we're, you know, already what is the budget? $3.4 trillion. So $17 billion, $3.4 trillion. Pretty much the ranking members of the Senate Budget Committee said, the ranking guy did anyway, Senator Judd Gregg, a Republican from New Hampshire, said that he's not impressed by the proposal to cut that money out of the budget. He says it's important to realize the context of this, to place the $17 billion figure in the context of the shadow of the $3.4 trillion budget. I loved his analogy. And this is it. I'm going to quote him. It's as if you took a teaspoon of water out of the bathtub while you left the spigot on at full speed. Because we're clicking up a debt that is so, so high as a percentage of our gross national product that, I mean, we're stuck. We're almost at this point, and I don't know, I mean, this isn't fear-mongering, in some people's minds, we're almost headed into third world country status if we keep going in this direction. We're going to let you hear exactly what the president had to say coming up around the bend, by the way, on that. And so the cuts are going to be interesting to see how people feel about them, because some of the things that they're talking about eliminating include stuff earmarked by members of Congress, like a $10 million West Virginia highway project. So that would be, let's see, Senator Robert Byrd. $15 million, Dianne Feinstein, for diesel emissions reduction grants. Also, they're proposing $145 million in savings from a clean water program that was pushed forward or administered by the Environmental Protection Agency, which bankrolled 301 earmarks this year. But I don't think, from what I gathered, that they're going to kill tons of earmarks. But, in fact, most of it, actually a lot of it, is going to come from defense. A lot of that will come from that area. Coming up on the flip side, like I said, we're going to let you hear what Obama had to say about the $17 billion. That's next on America Tonight.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. 406-251-3270 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes contain chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that many multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Do your herbal remedies have unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to organic health and beauty products. Visit tobenatural.com and order today. 2BNatural.com carries exclusive, all-natural, chemical-free skincare, hair care, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit 2BNatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com. 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code RADIO for 15% discount and free alkaline food chart. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog.
Coming up, the new Star Trek movie opens this week. We know the Trekkies are going to go, but what if you're just kind of interested in Star Trek? Would you go and see it? I'll tell you, it looks bad. J.J. Abrams. I watch one of his shows called Fringe, and it is so well done. Some people are big Lost fans, too, and I hear that this is just knocking the cover off the ball, and not even juice with steroids when he did it, too. Leonard Nimoy, we're going to let you hear what he had to say about being part of this movie, because he is, imagine that. And, of course, a little bit of the movie. We'll let you hear a slither of that as well, too, as we trek along here. 800-259-5791. We're talking about a couple of things, including the president's budget and now these cuts. 800-259-5791. Mike is listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Mike. Don, rather, is listening to us in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hi, Kate.
Hey.
Just to show you how geek of a Trekkie I am,
mm-hmm.
Did you know that Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner are 4 days apart in birth?
I did not know that.
Okay. That's the weirdest thing you'll hear tonight, probably. Hey, I evidently, the scenes from the planet Vulcan mm-hmm. that are in the film, they filmed down here in southern Utah. They were talking about it today. So.
Oh, cool. I like that they're doing the planet Vulcan. You know, and, of course, everybody likes the Klingons. I don't know why, but everybody's fascinated by the Klingons. If you're just a tepid fan of the Star Trek series, everybody knows who they are, I think. And I'm gonna go see it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, anyway, though, you got to love the Bird of Prey, right? So I think everybody
exactly.
likes it because they want to be invisible and be able to sneak up on people or something.
Oh, you got it. I would come pick you up, and we just cruise in over Washington and find out what really is going on.
I'll tell you what's going on. Hey, that's a good lead, Kate. I'll tell you what's going on. You got a bunch of idiots that put a guy in the presidency who have no concept of what money is. I mean, you know, he comes out today and says, I'm cutting $17 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to 3.5 trillion? Come on.
Yeah, what's the difference, dude?
I mean, because, you know, you say to somebody that's ignorant that doesn't really understand how much $3.5 trillion is, you go, oh, he's cut $17 billion. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe you got to say, well, tell me what's more, $17 billion or $3,500 billion?
Yeah.
So you can't use the word trillion. They don't count. There's a concept of that, and, you know, and, oh, yeah, gee, damn, that's a lot of money, $3,500 billion, you know. I mean,
yeah,
isn't
ridiculous.
That, $3,500 billion. I mean, $1 billion is a lot of money. But anyway, okay, so enough. I didn't want to go political tonight. I'm sorry. So.
You want to talk about Manny.
I know. You know that's why I call. So, you know, let me tell you a quick story, just real quick. 1988, I'm watching the A's clinch against Minnesota, their division, and I sat with Ozzie Canseco and his dad, Jose's dad, you know, Ozzie and Jose's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ozzie said, hey, you want to go meet Jose? And I'm like, sure, man, I'll go with you guys. And so we go down to the clubhouse and everything, and, you know, he comes out, and I looked at the two of them, and I thought, wait a minute, you guys are identical twins? And it was like, you know, one of those monster guys from wrestling versus one of the little dweeby kids that roots for him, you know? And I just
yeah.
couldn't believe the size difference if they were identical twins. How did Jose get so much bigger? Well, at the time, I had no clue what the steroids were. Most people probably didn't know.
Right.
You know, but then, of course, and then, you know, once it all started to come out in the late 90s, and, you know, and then you know, McGuire goes before Congress, and you get to tell in his face he was lying. He wouldn't answer questions, and Palmeiro was lying, and Sosa was lying, and I thought back, and I thought, you know, that you know, it was so, I remember being a kid, you know, watching the three World Series in the early 70s that the A's won, and then I remember 89 finally reaching that, you know, here we're a $40 million ball team, no hardly any payroll, and we finally won another World Series, and to think that they cheated to do it, you know. And it just felt me with this hollow feeling like, yeah, you know, it's nice to brag that the Athletics have got 9 World Series, you know, just behind the Cardinals and the Yankees. But, you know, they cheated to do that 9th one, you know. And so now I just wonder how Red Sox fans are feeling right now to know that their biggest star on their team, you know, cheated to help them win those their last 2 World Series.
Yeah, it can't feel good. I mean, 50 games, too. What a hole that will leave for the Dodgers. I feel badly for the rest of the guys on that team.
And here's the best part, Kate. If he's, you know, is he going to perform like he was in the last year and in the playoffs when he comes back? Without the testosterone, extra testosterone?
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, they might be good. They're going to pay out, what, he got a 20, he's getting $17 million after he loses the 8 that he's going to lose for the 50 games. He's still making $17 million.
Right.
That's how these guys look at it. They think, okay, I get busted for 50 games. I still make, you know, X amount of dollars. And, you know, and the Dodger fans right now just got to be like, you know how much euphoria was. Oh, we got Manny. Oh, look at this. We're in the playoffs now. I mean, one guy made that much of a difference last year, you know, but to know that he was cheating to do it. So to finish this sad subject up, Kate, and here's one last thing that really hurts me. I think I brought this up to you before. You remember when McGuire broke Maris's record?
Yes.
And he runs around, and he's at a home plate, and his kid's standing there, and he lifts him up, and the whole country's watching, you know. It's just, I mean, this was the record that had just stood forever, you know. Nobody's going to get the 61 to beat Maris's record, you know. And
right.
He runs over there, and he hugs the Maris family who's there in attendance, you know. And now you look back, and you go, the guy cheated to do it. As far as we know, Maris's record should still be the record, you know. You had, a year later, I guess it was 97, when McGuire and Sosa were doing the home run derby,
mm-hmm.
you know, out the whole country, because they were just, every day they were blasting home runs. To know that they were both juiced, Bonds knew they were juiced, so what did Bonds do? He said, forget this. I mean, Barry Bonds did not need to take steroids. He was going to go to the Hall of Fame with the numbers he had at the time.
Right,
but
I agree.
He's like, hey, I'm the best player in the game, so guess what? I'll get juiced, and I'll be the one that has the home run record. Sure enough, he did it, but he cheated to do it. And he didn't
yep.
ever, and maybe he wouldn't have broke the record if he'd have just stayed clean. But he'd
yeah.
still be going to the Hall of Fame. So here's my thing. If Bud Selig had a set of you-know-whats, which you know
mm-hmm.
he doesn't,
Mm-hmm.
He would sit there and say, I'm sick and tired of this. This is what we're going to do. And this isn't quite fair to some guys in baseball, but anybody that played, I think, 83, 84, 85, right around there is when they started using steroids.
Sure.
That's according to Ken Sickles' book, is when it started to enter into baseball. Up until, I think it was, was it 05 when they started testing?
Yep.
Anybody that played in that time frame, you're automatically out of the record books. You cannot go to the Hall of Fame. Now, that's not fair for Junior, you know? Tell everyone who Junior is.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Some of your listeners might, who's Junior?
That's true, because there's another Junior, of course. And there's a bunch of Juniors in other sports, though. You're right.
I know. But Ken Griffey, that's not fair for him. That's probably mm-hmm. not fair for Maddox. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's probably quite a few good players that I got Hall of Fame numbers during that time frame mm-hmm. that would go into the Hall of Fame. But this is when Bud Selig's got to step up and say, this is a black, you know, just like they did to the White Sox and the Black Sox back in 1918.
Right.
This is a black era on the mark of baseball. You know, you cannot compare somebody's numbers like McGuire, like Bonds, you know, with the all-time greats like Babe Ruth and, you know, and Maris and you know, and the rest
you
of
can't.
Them. DiMaggio, you cannot put them in the record book.
No.
Compare them to guys that didn't
no.
shoot. So that he's got a blacklist.
I agree.
That whole 20 years. And
but he's not going to do that, though, Don. That's the problem. That's why I said you have to go back to the whole argument that people are having about the asterisk, and he has no cojones. I'm just going to say it. He doesn't. And so that's the deal. I call him Bud Light. And Bud Light is not going to step up to the plate, and he's not going to do that. I mean, now, after everything that's happened, he's come out and said, oh, yes, and we're going back and whatever. But really, when it comes down to it, he doesn't. And ultimately, now with this Manny thing, there's going to be more conversation and more heat to figure out what to do with the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what you do, Kate? One time, you're out. You know?
It's yeah, one strike.
Come down to that. You yeah. get caught with any banned substance, and you better know what they are going into baseball. You know, you get caught with a substance, you are out for life. I mean, they've given them this 50 games and then 100 games and then the third strike, third time, you're out. The point is, though, you were cheating, you know, and supposedly the whole idea of him using this female testosterone drug is to bring him down off of whatever he was using. You know, they've just got to come down and say, you know what? You know, that's the way I feel about drunk driving, Kate. We slap people on the hands. What if you told somebody, hey, you drink and drive, you're going to jail for a year, you know?
Yeah, maybe more people would be scared straight and wouldn't even take the chance of doing that. Don, have a fabulous weekend. You know, talking about getting off on the tangent with the Hall of Fame, I think pretty much everyone knows where I stand on that. I think the asterisk is what you're really fighting for, because they'll never have a block, because it wouldn't be fair to the other guys. We're going to be fair to you. We've got Odds and Ends next on ATN.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator, producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Americans, do you know where your food comes from? Is it safe, secure, and healthy? Did you know most of our food is now contaminated with genetically modified ingredients? We at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company have been helping people get pure garden seed for 12 years and carry over 1,200 varieties of GMO-free heirloom seed. Go to www.rareseeds.com for more information. That's rareseeds.com. Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company was started in 1998 by a 17-year-old as a hobby. It was developed out of a passion for preserving our vegetable heritage. The company now offers the largest selection of pure heirloom seeds, strive every year to bring back varieties like our forefathers grew. In times like these, we can't trust the government to keep our seeds safe. Every year at Baker Creek, we work to preserve the best of the oldest for future gardeners. We also offer affordable seed collections for long-term storage. Go to www.rareseeds.com and get your seeds from America's pure seed source. That's rareseeds.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of jive talking going on in Washington. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight. Boy, there's a ton of stuff that we haven't even touched yet, including this huge story, Drew Peterson. He was at ex-cop. He's being held on $20 million on 2 counts of first-degree murder and the drowning death of his third wife. Remember, his fourth wife was missing. His fourth wife went missing, and every news reporter, every helicopter, every person available was scouring the fields forever trying to find Stacy Peterson. So this 55-year-old ex-cop hasn't been charged with her disappearance, although there's wild accusations flying around. But now he's criminally accused of killing the third wife, Kathleen Savio, who was found in a tub back in 2004. She was found dead in a dry bathtub, and they must have gathered some kind of evidence, enough certainly, that they could heave this out there, $20 million bond without question. So he's in the soup because they were looking for a way to nail him forever. This story has been going on, as you all know. And very sad of with the third wife, the Savio family, of course, just torn to pieces after that, after their sister and she was a sister and a family member, et cetera. So many people in that family just furious with what happened. And then now, of course, still hanging in the balance is whatever happened to 23-year-old Stacy Peterson. She vanished in October of 2007, and he hasn't officially been a suspect in her disappearance. But the Savio family knew something was wrong, and they knew here's the pattern, and they knew they always felt that he was responsible. So what happened was they exhumed the body, and it was reclassified as a homicide, and eventually they were able to get enough, apparently, to tie him to this. And ultimately, he's going to have to go into court and see if he can prove his innocence. But I'm going to say that that is the daily salute. Do we have some applause from the audience that we have jacked up on Wild Premium Coffee? Yeah, to me, this guy's a liar from the word go. You know that whole thing about can you tell by a person's eyes and all that stuff? And you could just tell in the interviews and the insincerity of the being on the hunt for the wife and, just crazy. So finally, I'm sure some people are sleeping a little bit easier because this is at least one step in the right direction. In the meantime, a couple of other things, and this is a big one. We've been talking about Pakistan a ton this week. Remember, I've asked all of you, hey, America, you get the vote. Do we go into Pakistan? I mean, look at this hornet's nest and the nukes and everything else. But how can you put troops there with Afghanistan looming? Now, Afghanistan with 30,000 plus military folks that have been tossed over there, now they're going to increase that to over 60,000 by the fall. So where are you getting all these people with our voluntary military to march into Pakistan? And isn't there a point where we just say, we're going to lend you a hand, but we can't do that much for you? Well, Defense Secretary Robert Gates says there are absolutely no plans to deploy ground troops to Pakistan, even though there's concerns over Islamabad and the violence that's been increasing between Pakistani troops and the Taliban, too. And like I said, I mean, of course, we do have to be concerned. I'm concerned about the nukes. But he was at Camp Leatherneck in southern Afghanistan, and he just assured everybody there, you're not going to be fighting in Pakistan. He took questions from the guys and said it over and over and over again. Because, you know, the Pakistani president really pushed Barack Obama for more help in trying to fight this off, because the Taliban is, you know, trying to get into that, I guess they're, whatever, 60 miles outside of the capital, Islamabad, but that's not happening. And there's such a spike of violence in Afghanistan, and especially there's going to be more between now and the elections in the fall. That's why they're sending more troops. So forget about it. It's done. It's not happening. The full mission is going to be in Afghanistan, and I think that is the smart play at this point. After leaving Iraq, and who knows what's going to happen there, and sadly, I think it's going to be a very tough road in Iraq because of the Sunnis and the Shia and the Kurds, and ultimately all that religious discord. I don't see that place being peaceful, and sadly, I feel badly for all the people who have served certainly gallantly, rather, from the United States and other nations as well, that lost their life and limbs, as to ultimately are they leaving with some kind of a democracy in place. Also, this is big. Wildfires torching Santa Barbara and completely out of control. More than 100 homes have burned and thousands of people have been evacuated. Let's jump to the phone lines, 800-259-5791. Let's go to Thomas in Michigan. Hey, Thomas.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm a former Marine, and I remember something very similar to what's happening in Pakistan now. Mm. And that's when we had a very weak president, or at least a president that was perceived as very weak internationally, and his little peanut farmer from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Jimmy Carter.
Right. And that's when the Islamists tried to take over Iran. And Carter, you know, he said, well, we need to get rid of Shah because he doesn't believe in having so much democracy. And he has a secret police. And he's just not a really nice person. And look what happened. Now, Iran is the nest from which all these snakes come out of.
I know.
And, you know, we have to study that, because the same thing is happening now. I mean, they're not going to stop these Taliban guys with helicopters because they can't tell who is who. You know, they're just driving into the Capitol as we speak. They're driving into the Capitol right now.
Yeah, they are. Yep.
And you know, what Pakistan needs is a strong leader to get the people riled up, because the people know who's Taliban or not. But the people, they look at the leader now and they go,
who cares?
You know,
yeah.
They wish Musharraf was back there, you know, in a wheelchair. I don't know where Musharraf is now anyway. He must be in
he took off because they basically beat him out, that he was going to be assassinated, and there was no question about it, and he lost support, and so he had to hightail it out of there. Of course, when he leaves, you're absolutely completely right. Very weak president in place, begging Obama for help. It's too late for that at this point. And you're right. Absolutely. The Taliban, I believe, they're taking over. I just hope that the nukes somehow are hidden, covered, or whatever. And it is such a hornet's nest there, and it's really sad to see this.
Well, let's not forget the fact that the Pakistani nuke people, let's say the people who work with the nukes and everything like that, are not friends of ours. Okay, they were the ones, I forget the guy's name, Dr. Khan or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved in giving nuclear secrets to all kinds of different countries.
Right, right.
Remember that?
And
so, you know, we cannot have any confidence at all in whose side these people are on, because we have to also, I guess, give the Pakistanis a little break. They're right next to India, and India has nukes, you know, pointed at them, and you know, so I think we better just get in there and take those nukes out, send some special forces in there. Hopefully, we know where the nukes are. Hopefully,
yeah.
Bush
get the black ops in there, and then sort it out later. That's what I
would
say.
Just take because them out of there.
That's it. Just fleece them out of there. Get them out of there. Absolutely. Hey, we're glad you called the show, and thanks for your service.
Hey, well, you know, you have a very nice voice and you're very intelligent, so keep up the good work there. And,
all right, thanks.
Check out freerepublic.com. A lot of good conservatives on that site.
All right, freerepublic.com. We'll check it out. Thanks, man. You have a great weekend. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. To me, that's ultimately, we were just talking about there, that's ultimately what it's about, is the nukes, the nuclear capacity, and ultimately what that could mean, of course, if you have the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or anybody that wants to do harm to the Western world in any way, that would obviously be not something you'd want to see. You would not want to see them be armed. Speaking of being armed with information is the other thing. You know, this whole thing about enhanced interrogations, and, man, did we not – we're talking – roll back 2 weeks. We were talking about that a ton because, of course, the memos were released, and then there was all the furor over the memos, and then the architects of the memos, and should they lose their gigs, and somebody needs to be prosecuted for this and all that other stuff. And this is far from over, folks. Well, I want to know who knew in Congress, and so do a lot of other reporters. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, it turns out, was briefed in September of 2002 about the use of the harsh interrogation tactics against Al-Qaeda prisoners, seemingly pretty much contradicting what old Nance said in her statements over the past 18 months, that she was never told that the techniques were actually being used. In fact, there's a 10-page memo outlining almost the 7-year history of the classified briefings. And Pelosi certainly was one of the members of Congress that was briefed on those tactics. They have it there in black and white. See, those memos can work both ways. 800-259-5791. General Petraeus, what he said next.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? The answer is all-natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP, to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed, America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. Or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say that you can learn.
Yeah, they need a little bit more of that on Capitol Hill. Hey, I was just telling you about Pelosi, just to finish that up here on ATN, folks, because I know it's like dropping. You drop the bomb and then you walk away. Well, here's the deal. Pelosi's office did release a statement, pretty carefully worded from what I understand, saying that she had never been briefed about the use of waterboarding, and only that it had been approved by the Bush administration lawyers as a legal technique to use in interrogations. Well, hello. That's saying that they're saying it's legal and you're not protesting it, and saying that she was briefed only once, but that waterboarding hadn't been used yet. However, the techniques were being used during the Zebediah interrogations, which doesn't match up with the timeline. So this is going to get a little hotter, I think. It's pretty much heated debate on the Hill. Republicans, of course, accusing her of knowing for many, many years that she knew precisely what the CIA was doing and what was happening in these interrogations. And only when people started to find out and complain about the tactics, when they became public knowledge and you had anti-war activists protesting, did things turn around for Nancy Pelosi. And that's politics, baby. That's pretty convenient, though, isn't it? Speaking of pretty inconvenient. Elizabeth Edwards was on the Oprah show, and she was talking about, you know, full disclosure, she wrote a book about her life and situations, and of course everyone wants to know about John Edwards and his affair and is the baby his and all this other sort of stuff. And here's a little snippet from that interview.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. Yeah, right. Good.
Yes, sir.
Good for you now. There you go, take care.
Well, can we talk to you later on? We'll see. Okay, if you're available, we'd love to.
All right.
You're around. It was really fantastic.
You want to shoot?
Yeah. Yeah.
I shoot.
No, I don't want to shoot.
I brought this
here. Did you really?
I did.
Yeah. Wow. This is a gym.
Yeah, it's a real gym.
And that was the expectation, is there would be tons of little kids running around here playing ball.
Well, mostly it's a place for an old man to
Well, she was terrific. You know why she was so terrific? Because she actually wrote the book.
That helps, doesn't it?
It does help. I was saying to her,
definitely wrote it.
It's just so often. So what is your impression of the book? We know that you've read it.
I think it's thoughtful and heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I read it as it was being given birth. So
yeah.
I read pieces of it as it went along.
And so when you read the completed book, finished the last chapter,
yeah,
you said what?
I think it's how she feels. I think it's what's inside her.
Yeah.
I never suggested she change anything or work. Mm-hmm.
Would you prefer she didn't do it? Would you prefer, do you think that this is going to bring this whole matter up again?
I think that's up to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what this book is about. And it's what's inside her, what she feels, what she feels.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you all have gotten to a good place now?
I feel like we're getting to it. It's not over, but I think we're getting to a good place.
Getting to a good place.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you this. Was there a point where you thought that she would leave you?
I didn't know. I think the honest truth is I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what she would do. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody knows when they go through something like this.
Were you afraid that she might?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love her. I care about her, so.
Yeah, well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And you can see that this is a home with love.
It's a great place.
And one of the things that I said to Elizabeth, the thing that I gathered from reading her book, is that the only way it can work out is because there has been so much love between you.
No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You should see the video that goes along with that. And in one sense, it's sad because Democrat, Republican, you know, liberal, unconcerned, can't decide, whatever label you are or you decide to call yourself by anyway. It is sad to see John Edwards just from the point of view, an outside point of view of a guy who piously would walk around as, man, good looking, and I represent these values, and I'm here for the people, and da 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 da, and running for, of course, with Kerry, running as VP, and then he would have been, potentially he could have been the running mate, certainly, for Barack Obama. A lot of people thought that that was what was going to happen once he bowed out of the race. Or at least he would have been in the cabin or had some position somewhere, but politically he's just dead. And what it looked like on cameras, you could see the man was just incredibly stressed. And now, with this coming out, the ex-mistress, whatever, is interested in getting a paternity test for her one-year-old daughter after these new questions have come up. And, you know, whether or not John Edwards is the father. She's like, bring it on. I'm just totally ready for this, and I'll do that. And one of the questions you didn't hear there is when Winfrey sat down one-on-one with her before they bumped into him in the hallway and then right where the basketball court was, she said that, you know, she asked about the baby thing and said, I've seen a picture of the baby. I have no idea. This is Elizabeth Edwards. I have no idea. It doesn't look like my children, but I don't have any idea. It was, it's a sad thing. It's a sad deal. And the paternity test, I mean, you think he's going to agree to do that? And I'm going to say, no, there's just no way that's going to happen. But it's not the only thing that's dogging Edwards in the wake of the affair. The bigger question, the reason I have even brought it up on America Tonight, because Who cares about all the gossip? It's the finance questions. And that came up last year after his political action committee paid more than $100,000 to Riley Hunter's company for the production of short videos. That's how they met. Because remember, originally it was deny. He said he had no relationship. And on the birth certificate, by the way, of this little girl, there is no father listed. So Elizabeth Edwards' book, Resilience, is due out next week. In the meantime, we've been talking about Iraq. June 30th is the deadline for troops to leave. Nouri al-Maliki says they are ready to stand on their own two feet, the military, of course, and the police force there. General Petraeus sat down with Joe Scarborough, and there were a couple of good questions Joe asked him. I thought it was worth letting you hear that. Here's what he talked about as far as Iraq is concerned.
I think if I could sum it all up, it would be that counterterrorism, certainly at least in the central command area of responsibilities, the 20 countries for which we are responsible, cannot be conducted just by counterterrorist forces. You need much more of a whole of governments approach. You might call it, again, a complex, comprehensive counterinsurgency strategy. But it takes all assets, all tools in the kit bag, and obviously very close working with coalition partners and the host nation governments, to be sure. And I think those are the big macro lessons that we have taken from this. Well, I think the strategy that was there, I think that as you look back and analyze it, was reasonably on course. If you go back and look at the levels of violence and all the rest of that, and what happened was it was undone very substantially by the sectarian violence that took off in 2006, particularly in the wake of the February 2006 Samara mosque bombing.
All right, and he was asked, of course, about the surge. That's what General David Petraeus was talking about there. Why, you know, the late push then? What if that had been what had been done initially from the beginning, if you had more boots on the ground? Which, just from my little old point of view, I think if you're going to storm in, you storm in and you knock them out. It's the 1-2 punch, man. It's the Muhammad Ali approach, if you will. Take what you learn in the boxing ring and apply it. That heavy pressure, full force. Don't let up, and you might dance around it, but you're attacking on all ends, and I think that was probably the biggest mistake there. And now we see Pakistan, of course, tanks rolling in, and the Taliban, who knows, getting closer and closer, bearing down on the Pakistani people, and ultimately it could be that even though the U.S. doesn't want to do it, that they do creep into Pakistan. Gates is saying no, that all of the effort is going toward Afghanistan. You can shoot me your thoughts, americatonight.net.